You're listening to The Idea Roastery. I'm Harman.
And I'm Jason.
And Jason, are you concerned about microplastics?
So recently I went through the efforts of going online and finding myself a water filter. So the idea was spurred from like a couple of sort of articles that I read and a couple of podcasts that I listened to about the effect of things like fluorine in water supply. And so I bought this like sort of little jug thing. And then every, you know, now and again, I have to like fill it up. And then over time, it will drip down into the bottom. And so now I have a sort of more inefficient way of filling up my glass in the morning. And the reason for that was mostly just because of some article that I read about how bad some of the chemicals are in your water supply.
So I've got the same jug as you.
Really?
And I've been using it for the past year, but I bought it for slightly different reasons, but carry on and all.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So I was feeling quite smug about myself, but then I think I saw a news article or something about how one team of researchers found microplastics inside heart tissue. And for me, like having a family history of heart problems, that was like somewhat concerning. And then also another article I read is about these things called PFAS, which is like this, they call it like a forever chemicals, right?
We'll have to do a whole episode on those though.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact is that PFAS can manifest itself as a microplastic. And these are said to be carcinogenic, meaning that you could have microplastics inside of you that could potentially be causing cancer. And similar to like having, you know, lots of viruses inside of you all the time, plastics are something that your body is not able to necessarily deal with. So on the topic of microplastics, I am a little bit concerned in the fact that it seems like microplastics are pretty much everywhere, microplastics and nanoplastics. And I'm not too sure if my water filter will actually do the job of getting that out. And also, like, is this my life now? Do I have to drink from this one little jug for the rest of my life?
I mean, I do drink from just this one jug, and I replace the water filter every 2-3 months, as stated on the packaging. But the reason that I do it is actually because it reduces the taste of chlorination, because, you know, the water supply in Cape Town, especially during the water crisis of 2018? 2017?
2018.
So when the dams got really low, there was a lot of grit in the bottom. And so they over-chlorinated the water, or they didn't over-chlorinate it. They chlorinated it more. And now whenever I drink unfiltered tap water, I taste that chlorine. But there's good evidence to suggest that it does do a good job at filtering microplastics as well. And so actually, here's an interesting definition that we should get out of the way. Microplastics is used to mean anything from like 5 millimeters lower, right? But then nanoplastics are used to represent anything that is like 100 nanometers and lower. And so we also call nanoplastics microplastics. We just kind of bundle them together, but nanoplastics are even the smaller ones. So it's like the microplastics are the ones that you can kind of physically see. Like,
yeah,
if you put a sieve through the ocean, through ocean water, you can pull out a couple of microplastics. Whereas the nanoplastics are the ones that like enter the water cycle, that if you eat a fish that's had those nanoplastics inside of them, now you have those nanoplastics in your digestive system and they can get into your bloodstream because they're so, you know, micro. Should we, let's backtrack over here. Why is this a bad thing? Like it sounds like a bad thing, right? It's like, okay, we've got these foreign particles that can get into our bodies that maybe have negative health implications. But I think that it's a dose response. So let's take, for instance, if there's opioids in the water supply, right? Like, let's take, for instance, you live in a municipality that recycles the water and the opioids don't get entirely filtered out, right? It will generally be like 1/1000th of the amount that is perceptible or, you know, negatively impacting you. Yes, they're technically in there, but no, they're not going to hurt you. However, if you live in a region where the only water source comes from a lake that is just full of plastic waste, right, and it's just deteriorating over there, and it goes through just like a macro filter where it gets rid of the big particles, but it doesn't go through a micro filter. You're getting a significantly higher dose. And so I haven't properly looked up these stats because they don't exist. But I know when I look around South Africa or pretty much any other developed country, and I see where the water is sourced from and how it's treated before it gets to households, it is noticeably cleaner. It's gone through multiple filtration steps, right? Yes, chemicals have been added to protect people's teeth or to reduce the amount of bacteria in the water, like chlorination. But you're definitely still drinking some nanoplastics. But is that dosage enough to negatively affect health outcomes? I don't think so. However, if you live in the Philippines, that has incredible plastic problems, right? Then there's a good chance that you're going to be ingesting a lot more plastic waste, especially through your food sources. So it's like you water your fields with unfiltered plastic filled water, and then that grows into the crops or it gets into the fish that you pull out of the ocean.
I think what's nerve-wracking for me is that there's a possibility that because there is inequality in terms of which areas are affected by plastic pollution more than others, and the kinds of steps people have to take to avoid microplastics, that it's going to favor people who have more money. And so what the challenges that I see with microplastics is there are certain microplastics that are carcinogenic. They do cause health problems, right? The dosage, maybe not for us, it's a problem. But if it is a problem for a population in any format, as the population expands, the expectation is that unless we find ways to have alternatives to plastics, and there are certain types of plastics that are more prevalent when it comes to actually degrading into these microplastics, that the more we grow as a global population, the more there's going to be the concentrations that are going to be enough to affect health outcomes. And then that's going to be in itself a negative to everybody, because you're going to have larger parts of the world that are sort of more prevalent towards things like cancers.
I think I agree and I disagree with you on that, right? So let me see if I can put my thoughts into words over here. So what causes microplastics? Well, there's a few things, but it's plastics in the water supply, right? Now, and it's also a lack of filtration by the time it gets to you.
Well, it's water supply, but also inside of agricultural,
Yeah. But that water supply is that the cause of the plastics being inside of the water supply is poor waste management. And as countries become more developed, they have better waste management systems. So again, like the Netherlands isn't having a hard time with microplastics in their water supply, right? The Netherlands, there's a good chance that each individual per capita consumes more plastic than someone in a poorer part of the world, just because they consume more because they're richer. However, those plastics get disposed of correctly. They get put into a landfill. And I know that, you know, we've had a whole episode on this, but like plastics are petrochemicals. They're made out of crude oil. We turn them into bottles. When those bottles are done, I don't see anything wrong with putting them back in the ground, right? I'm here to put them back in the ground because I think that's better than, you know, trying to do something else with them that is potentially more polluting. Now, in the Philippines, say, which is the largest plastic pollution emitter in the world, specifically into the oceans and waterways, they don't use as much plastic per capita, but it goes into the wrong places and it gets into the water supply that is used to water the fields and stuff. So my take is not that plastic pollution is going to, or microplastics is going to get worse. Yes, you are completely right that currently it affects the people who are of a lower income. And that is unfortunate of pretty much all pollution, right? I think as the world becomes more prosperous and as waste management systems become better at collecting and processing waste instead of it just going into the river, we will see this problem slowly, I don't want to say be solved, but get better and better. And this is like the opposite of what happens with carbon dioxide. Is like as a country becomes more prosperous, it starts emitting more CO2 into the environment. I think as a country becomes more prosperous, it starts emitting less plastic into the environment. So it's certainly interesting, but I think the problem gets better by doing stuff that we already know how to do, specifically with plastics.
Well, I mean, the one thing that you have to maybe think about is the growth in the population versus the growth of management systems, right? So us being from South Africa, and you know, there are many parts of the world where we are seeing that infrastructure is not always keeping up with the demands of a population. And so it's almost like, what are the kind of technologies that need to, I mean, there are waste management techniques right now, right? But I don't, the way that there's a disconnect between the disposal of waste and the production of waste means that, you know, it's always going to be sort of easier to produce more and more plastics than it is to actually recycle them. And I agree that maybe you will have, you know, more technologies that come along, but will it be enough to compensate the sort of growth in plastic demand? And also, like, when it comes to the pervasiveness of it, these things are getting into like very remote areas of the Antarctic. They're getting into like even like, you know, Tibetan mountains, and I think even they found it in the clouds above some Asian city. And it's pretty much like, you know, that's going to seep into other parts of the ecosystem in terms of like, you know, bugs, plankton picking up these little microparticles and that feeding into the food supply. So eventually it's going to be that it's not just the water that you need to filter out, but you need to almost like, maybe it is more of a case for being a vegan, right? But, you know, you still have the chance that plants pick it up too, right?
Plants do, I don't know if the word ingest is correct, but they take on water. And if water's got dissolved plastics in it, then yeah, absolutely. Now, the reason why I try to not get too concerned about this is because I agree with you over there, is it's everywhere. And that is unfortunately something that's unescapable. Interestingly enough, we talk about microplastics in terms of plastic waste, but that's actually not the leading contributor of microplastics. We as humans, we're against litter. We're like, we see trash and we're like, no good, don't go there, smell bad. But where most nanoplastics come from, there's two main sources. The first one is when you wash your clothes. So modern clothes are generally made with synthetic fibers, right? And a combination of synthetic and natural fibers. So it could be like elastane, polyurethane, and cotton, right? Especially athleisure wear or like sports clothes, anything that's got like a good amount of stretch to it. So when these go into your washing machine, those fibers give off nanoplastics, and then that washes out into the ocean through the drainage systems or wherever. So that's the first major way that nanoplastics get into the ocean. Not microplastics. Like if you look at the washing water, it'll look fine, but there's a whole bunch of elastane and whatever inside of there. And that's really hard to solve. Like, do you, you know, put all surge that runs out into the ocean or gray water that runs out into the ocean through a, you know, a nanoparticle filter? Like, that's actually, we actively can't do that. And then the second one is even harder to solve, and that is tires. So when a car drives, the tires are made up of a rubber plastic composite material. And the reason that you have to replace your tires and get them rotated and stuff like that fairly often is that they wear against the road and they give off like nanoparticles all the time. And then it rains and that rain runs into the gutters. And then those gutters run somewhere, generally into the waterways and oceans, because that's how we get rid of excess water in a city. And so, you know, the millions of cars, the billions of cars that are on the road, each have four tires, and those four tires are producing nanoplastics all day, every day. And so they're like, I don't know what a solution to that would look like.
Well, that's also like, that's something that's pinned to economic development, right? So as you get more economically developed, there's a chance that you do buy a car, right? So there's like,
or you can just go Japan, you know, make trains, like steel in the waterways, fine.
Well, yeah. So maybe that's where we can like pivot into some of the kind of solutions that need to be in place. One of them is that, you know, less use of cars might contribute to less requirements on things like tires, and even, you know, things like automated driving systems might contribute, because, you know, if you have a system that's more efficient in the way that it drives, both from an energy point of view and the way that it, you know, utilizes tires, I think that could also potentially be an option. What I'm keen to see is like the evolution of things like nanomaterials. There are certain researchers that are looking to do things like nanoparticles that attach themselves to microplastics that you can then remove it from the water system. And maybe that is the kind of eventual solution, is that you kind of assume that it's a given that there will be microplastics in the environment, and so there's just more of an emphasis on filtration into a city or into your home.
Sure, but that doesn't solve the thing inside of the food supply. So it's like, you can reasonably get a proper filtration system built onto your home, where all the water that comes into your house first goes through the filter. So this is for your shower, your cooking, your cleaning, whatever. But you know, then there's also like the crops you buy.
Maybe that's also extending into the water systems that they use on farms, right? And also potentially like you just create everything in a hermetically sealed bag, right? So you do things like indoor farming, or you do things like greenhouses, where you can kind of prevent outside contamination. And maybe that's the future we're going to, where we just all live in these like sort of hermetically sealed bags, where we can you know, not interact with all of the bad stuff that's outside, and you know, have all of our water filtered and brought to us.
I get you. I'm just gonna have a hot take over here, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying about the dosage response. Is I do think that microplastics do have harmful effects on the human body. Worse than that, and this is more of a microplastic / plastic waste, is, you know, seabirds and stuff like that go and eat plastic and their stomach fills up, and then they die because they starve to death, but their stomachs are full. So these are definitive problems. I haven't been able to find any evidence to suggest that if you have a reasonably clean water supply and your food, even if it is grown using bad plastics, that tends to be filtered to the extent that, yes, there are detectable amounts of microplastics in your food, but it is not of a sufficient volume to have negative health outcomes, which kind of goes to the whole thing. You know, like when people are like, oh, I only eat organic, or I only eat stuff that doesn't use certain pesticide. It's like, what is significantly more impactful is choosing what the thing is that you eat, right? So it's like, if you have an organic donut, right? I mean, good for fucking you with your, you know, but like if you had an apple, you know, GMO watered with plastic water and pesticided, is that apple is significantly more healthy for you than that donut. And so I think just, and this is more of a critique on the world in general, the health conscious world in general, is that we fixate on the things that are not that important. But that companies can sell to us a lot better because you can go and you can create organic tomatoes and you can sell them for a lot more. And people think that the word organic means better. Whereas in reality, a tomato is a tomato, and for all intents and purposes. And so you should just focus on eating, you know, more fruits and vegetables, whole grains, all that kind of good stuff. And like, you know, within a proper caloric range so that you don't, you know, pick up too much weight and you get, you know, and all of that stuff is going to have a significantly larger impact than if you, you know, if this tomato is grown in a hermetically sealed environment that doesn't have any microplastics in it.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's one of the other things I was thinking about is the downstream impacts is just if we do have better health and better health systems, like if we had a cure for cancer, right, then we don't even need to worry about it because, you know, once you do get those symptoms, we can just like sort of send in something and it can fix you up. Obviously, I think in the meantime, there is from those visuals of, you know, dolphins that, you know, that dying because of a big piece of plastic that they chewed on. Like there is a sort of movement away from plastics. And I think through legislation, there is getting less and less of them. And there's more technologies to kind of act as an alternative. But I think if tires and stuff are still the big players, that just means that, you know, there's industries that just need to really be a lot more effective in how they recycle.
Like, I know that we could probably have a whole episode on tires because tires are fascinating. But we'll mark that down as something to maybe talk about in the future. But the thing is that it's really, really hard to replace tires. Both the like the compounds and also just the whole like tube with air is, you know, we've tried using smart materials, we've tried using metals, you know, like NASA's developed wheels for rovers that deform in a specific way as they go over rocks, but the fact of the matter is that like rubber with air inside of it, it's one of the first things that we did once we invented the automobile. And it just turns out we got it right on the first shot. And so we've just been like iterating on that design, adding different layers, adding fibers to keep it stronger. But as long as we have cars, I think we're going to have rubber, right?
Yeah.
And again, this is synthetic rubber. So, well, it's a composite. But I don't see nanoplastics going away. As I, you know, yeah, we've talked about this a lot. I would love for us to not pollute at all. But I also am realistic in knowing that that is not going to, we're not going to get rid of all tires forever. Plastic waste, like macro plastic waste, that is something that can be controlled, whether it's through reducing the amount of plastics that we create or in combination with just better waste management. And whether we recycle or whether we put it back in the ground is kind of immaterial as long as it doesn't end up in water and inside of dolphins. And I would like to solve that problem. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to carry on filtering my water though.